Hello and welcome to Spin Unspun, the podcast about leaders and leadership in the world of corporate affairs and corporate communications. I'm Murray McDonald from Instinctive Partners, in conversation with the best and the brightest in corporate affairs, asking all the questions and discussing all the topics that really matter to people who shoulder the weighty responsibility for corporate reputation and effective communications. Today, I'm delighted to be joined in Instinctive Studio by Michael Podansky, Head of Corporate Communications at Revolut, and my co-host Jessica Beaumont, Senior Manager at Instinctive.
Thank you for having me.
Pleasure. Really good to have you here, Michael, and to you, Jess. So, Michael, your journey in corporate comms has taken you from Ogilvy to Freud's as a Senior Associate in Corporate Communications and Public Relations, then to a Vice President position at Barclays, and now to your role at Revolut. What drew you to a career in communications?
Well, I think like a lot of people working in communications and PR, there was some planned career steps and a lot of opportunism and luck. I actually applied for the graduate scheme at Ogilvy, trying to be a planner in advertising. And I think there is a common thread there because advertising planning, I always saw being about anthropology and trying to understand who the customers ultimately are and what consumers want to do, and then how an advertising strategy can speak to them. And I see public relations or communications the same way, which is basically how do people tick, how do people think, and how do you communicate with the public? So it's kind of interesting thinking that that's what I kind of wanted to start to do and then where I ended up. But I didn't get the grad scheme role at Ogilvy, but they did offer me a position at Ogilvy PR, which is one of the companies within the big Ogilvy network. And I worked there for a year and a half on consumer comms and some corporate as well, which I loved, and it was fascinating and super interesting. And Ogilvy is one of those big networked agencies with hundreds of awards and a real history. But then I guess the reason I got itchy feet wanting to move from there was before I joined Ogilvy, I fell in love with the character of David Ogilvy, who was one of the first madmen back in the day in the 1950s. He was one of those creative geniuses really pushing sort of advertising creative after the Second World War. One of the first guys on Madison Avenue. Some people say that Don Draper in Mad Men was actually based on David Ogilvy. But he passed away in the 90s. So even though I'd read quite a few of the books by David Ogilvy, I'd watched a lot of the adverts, and I knew a lot of the famous Ogilvy campaigns from over the years, it felt to me like I wanted to be somewhere where the founder and that big personality was not only still alive, but also kind of running the show. And I looked across the industry, and there are a few big personalities in the industry, and one of them is Matthew Freud. Set up Freud's in 1985, still running it day to day, maybe not in the same hands-on way, but still very much speaking to clients. And you know, his mobile phone is ringing in the middle of the night, you know, when the crisis happens. And he was in the office, and you would get to work with him or work closely with people that would work with him. And he was super creative. And that drew me to Freud's, and I was there for 4.5 years. And actually, then having moved in-house to Barclays, which was my move into finance, then coming to Revolut, the drive there is the same because, again, it's a founder-led business where the person that set it up on day one, our founders, Nick and Vlad, they're still there today. And you know, they will join calls, they will review things, they will set the strategy, they will be on the town halls, they will present. And you feel like there's a real sense of culture and community there because it's coming from the top. There's the personality there that is leading. And I think that's really special for a culture. And that's one of the things that appeals to me in communications. You do often get personalities that instill a culture within a business. And that way of thinking, how do you speak to an audience? How do you communicate in an effective way? That's always been something that's fascinated me.
That sounds like a fascinating career. And there are quite a few different companies that claim to be the inspiration for Mad Men. I think McCann also claimed to be part of that as well. Yeah. But I'm sure it's a combination of lots of them. But I agree. I mean, part of that corporate comms mix that I certainly love as well, I think that you do, is the fact that you get to really get into the thick of kind of what a company is all about and where they're going.
By the way, I should say as well, one of my mini sort of speeches or philosophies on the industry is that there isn't really such a thing as corporate comms officially. I think that there is, of course, and there is a way of communicating in a corporate way. And there are corporate audiences at times. It might be investors or business audiences or regulated entities, things like that. But the buzzword of the last 10 years, as we know, is integrated, and everything has kind of become integrated. And you know, is the FT a corporate audience? Well, on the one hand, yes, but it's read by consumers and it's read by people that might also read the BBC or the Daily Mail. So I see communications as all being part of the same thing. And often you have to switch from speaking to a quote unquote corporate audience to writing a tweet, to advising on LinkedIn, to figuring out how to apologize to a customer, for example. So there's a lot of tone shifting that is quite important in my day-to-day role. And that's also what we look for when we're hiring new people, people that you can throw them into any room, any group of people, and they can read the room quite well and they can understand how to adapt their communications.
Yeah, I think you're right. There is a lot of language, like that corporate comms language, that isn't necessarily very helpful to us as an industry, but we kind of seem to be stuck with it quite often. And people like me use it all the time. So let's look a bit into you as a person and kind of some of the stuff that drives you now. So you're involved as a mentor for World ORT, which is a global education network, and also involved with the Taylor Bennett Foundation. So that caught my attention. So first of all, tell me a bit about what those organizations are.
Yeah, World ORT, or World ORT, is a charity that specializes in helping people mainly from Eastern Europe and from disaster zones. They're one of the charities that often goes in first when there's a big humanitarian crisis. They work a lot with young people who are in difficult circumstances. And they have a youth mentor program called ORT Jump. And the idea is each year it matches people in sixth form from across London with people in their careers who might be early in their careers, in their 20s or 30s or even more seasoned. And I was introduced to it by a friend, and I've been doing it for about 5 years. And each year I get matched with someone in year 12 who is at a very important stage in their life, because they're thinking about they've just done their GCSEs, they're thinking about A-levels, thinking about personal statement, what do they want to study at university, where do they want to go to university, if at all, and getting work experience and starting to think about networking. And you know, it's a very delicate time moving from child to adult and beyond. And I think that's a great place to step in as a mentor. Taylor Bennett Foundation is a great organization and charity. It specializes in helping people from Black and minority ethnic communities break into communications. I won't be the first person to point out that we're, as an industry, not as diverse as we could or should be. That is changing, and that's of course for the better. The Taylor Bennett Foundation is one of those great charities that does that. I've always done youth work. I'm Jewish. I've always been involved in the Jewish community. I was always involved in student societies and Jewish youth movements, first as a participant, as a child, and then as a leader.
Kind of looking back more to your professional career and how you've kind of moved from agency to in-house, in your experience, how does the environment of an agency differ from that internal setting of an in-house communications team? What have you seen most starkly over the last few years?
It's been super interesting for me. Working in an agency, it's full on in a different way from in-house. Working in an agency, you know, at the lower end, you might have maybe three or four clients. At the high end, it could be as many as 10. Always being pulled in a different direction. Every client, of course, wants to know that they're the priority. You don't want to say to any client, well, you know, I've got to end this call quickly because I need to speak to somebody else. You might be switching from retail to finance to FMCG to climate change. You get a lot of exposure and a lot of breadth. I think the difference for me moving in-house has been the depth. I never envisaged myself working in finance particularly, but having moved into it, I've realized that it is super interesting. And I think finance and fintech powers almost every day-to-day conversation we have, whether it's, you know, budgeting day-to-day, whether it's paying your rent or your mortgage, saving up for a big life event, getting married, having kids, buying a home, thinking, planning for the future. The way that we manage our finances is kind of behind everything. And I think, again, the sort of anthropological thing that I mentioned at the beginning, thinking about how people think and how they work, that is also a core that interests me from the finance perspective. And that depth is something that I've really enjoyed going in-house. You get to work with a lot of different teams across the business. Mm. So at Revolut day-to-day, we will work with the legal team, we'll work with the HR team, we'll work with the finance team, we'll work with the CEO's office, with the expansion team. And each time that there might be a communication challenge, and it will be different. It might be, we're setting up in Brazil, how do we speak to the Brazilian audience in a different way? It might be that we actually need to speak to a business audience in France. You know, what's the right way to do that? And you won't always know the answers, and you might have to partner with someone locally. But that depth and kind of going deeper into the business in-house is something that I really enjoyed.
Kind of looking specifically now at your time at Revolut, what would you say is the focus right now for the business, and what are some of your key objectives as head of corporate comms there?
The objectives of communications is quite simple. It's two pillars we talk about, innovation and trust. Innovation because we're the highest valued private tech company in the UK and in Europe. That's really exciting. And we've innovated a lot in the industry. Fintech is changing things really, really quickly. Through COVID, a lot of people started banking online for the first time. A lot of people have moved to smartphone banking and finances for the first time. There's a lot of shifts happening across society. And fintech is behind a lot of that. And Revolut is behind a lot of those innovations. And that's great. We're leading the industry. But on the other hand, when it comes to finances, you, of course, need people's trust. And that's something that can take time to build. And you need to show repeated interactions. It's not a one-off. You have to show that you build that over time with customers, on social media, with a business audience, with all the people that you speak to, that you need to show that you can be trusted. And that's something that we've done really well so far, given that we were only founded in 2015. But for any company, building trust, it's not something that you just fix and that's it. It's something that you do day in, day out.
And thinking about your other stakeholders in the financial services industry, what are some of the biggest challenges faced, say, when a customer expresses dissatisfaction on a public platform like, say, X or Twitter, as it previously was, and that might catch the attention of regulators?
I think, first of all, seeing it in context. So, you know, it's like that thing on TripAdvisor. If you go and you have a nice meal, are you going to leave a review? Well, not necessarily. But, you know, but if you've got food poisoning, then you might do. So, yes, there are customers that sometimes have problems. And of course, that's a priority for us. And we have a lot of teams that work at fixing those problems. But mm-hmm. we also have millions of customers that use us day to day. And, you know, you might not hear from them publicly. So I think seeing it in context is important. Mm-hmm. But also making sure that, you know, feedback is good. Sometimes something happens with a customer and they spot a bug or something could be improved and they help us fix something. We have a few values at Revolut which are taken really seriously in terms of hiring. They're in neon branding on the wall and they're on all of our stickers and logos. One of them is never settle. And the idea of never settle is constant improvement. Always going back to that innovation point, how can you always improve? And it's not like we built the product and shipped it and that's it. Someone identifies something that we can improve on, that's great. There's actually everything at Revolut is done on Slack. And there's a Slack channel, which is feedback from customers. And if someone spots something on Twitter that says, you know, I wish Revolut could build this, someone will screenshot it, post it on their channel, and someone will be like, you know, let's go try to do that. Mm. So the feedback and the pain points sometimes is actually a good feedback tool for us.
Great to hear. Never settling, I think, is a good phrase for us all to remember, I suspect. So part of your role is about engaging with investors. How do you balance the transparency that's required and the compliance that's required with that while ensuring that the comms you're doing is kind of clear and compelling as well?
Well, we have a separate team that mainly deals with investors, but I think from the communications perspective, it's understanding that we're a VC-backed business. We have investors that have bought into Revolut at different funding rounds. And they want to see us do well, which is great. But that also comes with a little bit of a challenge because we had a very large valuation in our Series E funding round. And tech valuations are often done on future growth. So we've continued to grow. The challenge for us is, and the opportunity is to keep growing. And investors like to see that, and they like to see that actually there's a lot of growth still coming from the UK and elsewhere. And we should have some optimism. I think investors inherently are often optimistic because you're investing in something and you're thinking, I hope this does well and you want to see it do well. But sometimes in comms, there can be a bit of paranoia. Well, what will this headline be or what will this journalist do? But you have to take the rough with the smooth, I think. And you have to lean into things sometimes and you have to take a bit of a risk and say, let's just go for it and see what happens. Another Revolut value, aside from never settle, is get it done. And the idea of get it done is keep iterating, keep trying, try something. If it doesn't work, then try something different and improve. And you can't let, I think, the fear of failure hold you back.
Great. So you've mentioned a couple of Revolut's values there. What are the values that guide your approach to communications in the financial services sector in particular?
The first one is be clear. There's a lot of jargon that floats around. I have a personal bugbear for jargon or buzzwords. I think being compassionate and thinking about other people's perspectives is important as well. I mentioned before that you have to read the room and speak to different audiences in different ways. Adapting your tone to people that might think differently or come from a different perspective from you is important communication. So I think that's quite important for us as well. And then thirdly, is being pithy, getting to the point. Yeah. We're all very, very busy. And, day-to-day communications, as I mentioned before, you might bounce between emails, Slack, checking Twitter, seeing what's happening on LinkedIn. You got your customers' feedback, updates from all your different apps. There's a lot going on. And just being able to quickly get to the point without beating around the bush, without jargon, without over-egging things is super important.
It is. And more people should do it.
Yeah.
In light of those kind of guiding principles and values and what you've learned over your time in communications, what do we as a sector, the sector being comms itself, what do we do not so well? What could we improve on?
Okay, firstly, a practical thing. I would say reading a print newspaper every day. That's something that's personal to me because I personally like reading print newspapers. There's a lot of change, of course. The newspaper runs have been and are going digital first. But I think in terms of improving in the industry, you wouldn't go wrong to pick up a quality newspaper and try to read it cover to cover every day. First of all, in terms of just knowing what's going on in the world, but also thinking about how journalists actually write. And it doesn't happen so much now, but certainly when I started in comms, then there would be the dreaded sell-in. You had to work your way through a press list, and there would always be that phone call, hello, have you got my press release? Boom, I'll call you back in 2 hours.
We've all been there.
And the journalists are even more time pressured. They have thousands and thousands of emails, and there's a lot of PR people who are basically just trying to flog their own client's product or service without actually thinking, could I see this in a newspaper or on a news site? Mm-hmm. Is this delivering something of value? So I think reading the print newspaper indirectly hones a lot of those sorts of skills. And I would say the other thing is getting out and meeting people. things have obviously shifted somewhat in the last few years with COVID and working remotely and working from home. We work, you know, in a hybrid and remote way at Revolut as well. And you don't always need to meet people face-to-face. You can meet people over a call. But I think understanding the power of connections and your network is really important. And it's not just something to help you. A lot of the times, the bigger your network, the more that you can help other people. If I go back to the connections point I mentioned and the big personalities, Matthew Freud is, you know, one of the things that he's known for in the industry is being very, very well connected. He's not the most extroverted person in the world. You know, I think he actually is quite introverted. But I heard him once say, the most powerful bank in the world is the favor bank. And it's not just people that can do a favor for you. If you can do a favor for other people, that's good. You can help someone out. And again, that comes back to the mentoring. What are the skills that you have where you can help other people? Maybe you can introduce someone to someone else. Maybe you can give someone an opportunity, help someone with some work experience. It might come back and help you, but it might not. So I would say those two things, the practical, reading a print newspaper, and secondly, trying to expand and leverage your network just because you never know what might happen. Is something that's important to me.
From your experience, could you share any memorable stories or instances where things did go unexpectedly wrong and perhaps the lessons that you learned from them?
I'll tell a story of a very memorable sell-in, which I almost thought went very wrong, which was we had a client when I was at an agency, which was a supermarket, and they had changed the shape of their own brand vodka bottles. And they thought this was really worthy of front page news. And it fell to me to write and sell in the press release. And I was dreading all week, how am I going to explain that we actually haven't managed to get any coverage for your newly reshaped vodka bottles? But I actually did get a single piece of coverage. And I think it was Packaging Today, you know, quality trade publication. So it didn't quite go horribly wrong in the end. But I did learn a lot about packaging and the impact on the industry that day. You know, that kind of stuck with me as one of those early career stories that, you know, it's not always glamorous and high-level corporate communications strategy. It's sometimes it's just the day-to-day.
And who doesn't read Packaging Today? I mean,
quality news outlet.
Indeed. So you mentioned buzzwords earlier as well. So one of the buzzwords of the moment in communications everywhere is AI.
Yeah.
What can you share about where Revolut's at with AI in terms of implementing or how it's using it?
It's a bit too soon to say for us. It is something that we're looking at. We're looking at using AI in terms of helping us improve and develop our customer service chats. We have real people behind our customer chat, but also there's a lot of customer support that can be done by just finding the right answer very quickly for customers. So that's something that we're looking at. But I think, you know, 2024 and beyond will be the year when things will really speed up and every big tech company is looking at leveraging AI in some way for their businesses, aren't they?
And keeping with the theme of kind of novel technologies and things that are somewhat untested in wider society, Revolut has long been a champion for trading cryptocurrencies and cryptocurrency in general, and users have been able to trade on the platform. But do you see this as still being a trend for the industry since its heyday a few years ago during the pandemic? I know we've seen some recent spikes on Bitcoin in particular, but do you think the kind of hype around it is dying down or is it set to continue for the long term?
So the really interesting thing about Revolut is we have this diversified business model, which means that we offer a lot of different products, actually. If you go into the app, you'll see we have, there's a current account, there's, you can do stock trading, there's lifestyle, you get cash back on brands, and there's crypto as well. We shared in our annual report for 2021, we had a huge spike in revenue from crypto, but that's because there was a crypto bull run in 2021. Mm-hmm. 2022, crypto market fell, and crypto was a smaller driver of our revenue for that year. But then actually we benefited from a bunch of other things, for example, interest rates and renewed travel post-COVID. Mm-hmm. So yes, it's something that we offer, but we also offer this breadth of products. And the idea is that when there's a sort of a trend or an interest in one particular area, then we can kind of benefit from that. And it's working well so far, and we're continuing to grow.
Communications is clearly a people business.
Yeah.
And recruiting is a really important part of that, getting the right people in that. What is Revolut's approach to recruitment?
Yeah, recruitment is crucial for us. We spend a lot of time trying to find the best people. We talk about having A players. And what that means is people who are bright. Of course, you have to be smart. You want to work hard, and you want to build something and move quickly in your career. And if that sounds right for you, then have a look at Revolut, because we've hired a lot of people in the last couple of years. We're still growing. We're still hiring people. We want the best people. And actually, Revolut has increasingly become a training ground for people that then go on to do other super interesting things. There's a VC fund called Accel Partners, and they put out a report every year, which is, which are the tech companies across Europe and the UK which themselves create other tech founders? And Revolut consistently comes in the top, or one of the top positions in that report. So even though we do have a certain amount of turnover, we don't always want people to stay at Revolut forever, because it's great if people then go and start their own businesses. They raise capital in their own right, and they go on to innovate, sometimes within still in fintech, but also there have been people that left Revolut and they've gone on to start energy tech businesses or climate change tech businesses. And it's great if we're kind of equipping the next generation of entrepreneurs to go and do great things.
That's brilliant. I guess one of the things I've really picked up from our conversation today that I find quite inspiring is the fact that Revolut, you seem to very much live your values, and it's kind of very much ingrained in everything you're doing as well.
Yeah, I think it's important, because there's not always going to be a playbook for every scenario. In comms, anything can happen. And the idea of talking about crisis comms is that you don't necessarily know the shape of every single crisis. What you can know is what your values are. And you can apply your values to each situation. So I mentioned never settle. I mentioned get it done. We also have the value of dream team, which is having the best people working really well together. One of our slogans within dream team is shipmates self. So thinking about what's good for the ship, the entity in general, your shipmates, your teammates, but then what's good for you, but not always putting yourself first. And one of our other values, which I really like, is deliver wow. And the idea is, we're not just trying to make something good. We're trying to really raise people's eyebrows and say, how can we really innovate and push things and say, we want people to actually be surprised at how great this product is.
Sounds brilliant. Great. So we're nearing the end of this podcast. I've got the last question for you. So if you weren't in corporate communications, what would be your dream job?
I would love to own and run a jazz bar. I spent many years playing the trumpet, and I've always loved jazz. I grew up listening to Louis Armstrong and Miles Davis, and Dizzy Gillespie. Listened to a lot of bebop, and that would be, if I had a sort of second career, if I could kind of take a huge risk and I know that it would work out, then I would love to run a jazz bar.
Love it. Well, I look forward to joining you in that jazz bar sometime soon.
please come. I don't have a name for it yet. Yeah. Watch this space. Super. Well, thank you so much for having me.
Thank you, Michael. So our guest today has been Michael Badansky, Head of Corporate Communications at Revolut. Join us again for our next episode of Spin Unspun, details at instinctive.com. And thank you so much for listening.